All right, guys, welcome back to the Established Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I'm your host, Blake Lovell. With me, as always, my co-host, Dylan Reagan. We are back here with more NFL draft comps, and that is because, Dylan, it is NFL draft week. And we did on the previous episode a look at the quarterbacks and kind of what were going to be the best player comps looking ahead and trying to project many, many years ahead, perhaps, and figure out who these guys were going to become in the NFL. We're going to do that now. For the non-QB guys, not everyone, because we don't have seven rounds worth of comps, but we do have some for some of the top players. And, of course, Dylan, I think one of those guys you start with is Will Anderson, who, as we know, probably just a matter of when and where, because it's going to be early and looks like it probably will be number two. Seems to be a good guess here as to where Will Anderson could go. Certainly just a potential game changer defensively in terms of what he can do. You look at some of the comps out there, a wide range of just past great dominant defensive players. That's probably the best way to put it. Just pick your defensive player, you know, at a similar position or at that position and go with him. And again, maybe just go with that. But yeah, I think it's pretty clear that there you could go with, like I said, a lot of just dominant defensive players in the past, because it seems like Will Anderson's probably going to be one of those guys.
Yeah, his size at 6'3", a little over 250. I mean, this is a big dude coming off the end. Like you said, a lot of comparables that I've – the most common one I've seen based on just his body type and the way he plays is Khalil Mack. They're almost exactly the same height and weight when they weighed in at the combine when Khalil Mack coming out of Buffalo. But both – obviously, Mack went to a much smaller school, but both guys really productive – in their time, and obviously facing maybe some tougher competition at times for Will. Yeah, he's pretty much, you know, if it wasn't for all the quarterbacks we have in this draft, if, you know, if we're looking back at last year, for example, and Will was coming out, he probably would have been the obvious number one pick. It's just he just is the most NFL-ready guy in terms of his skill set. Looks like a plug-and-play immediately. We've had some really good edge rushers enter the league and immediately make an impact, and I feel like he's going to have one just like those guys. But, yeah, it's Khalil Mack is, again, the one that's the most commonly brought up. Saw Von Miller is another one that's been kind of thrown in the mix, but I think I like the Khalil one in terms of what they're also the versatility in terms of what they can do playing on the edge and standing up, being down and three technique, anything they you want from this guy. He's just a monster. And so we can go with a mix of Von Miller and Khalil Mack. That's not a bad comparison. I think overall we're always going to be looking at the best case scenarios here, right? We're not making too many comparisons of players that didn't end up panning out in the league, because we'll see if, you know, the hit rate on all these guys is only going to be so high. But I think out of everyone in this draft, maybe the next one of the other guys on our list coming up here. But I think Will Anderson is also one of the most just for sure fire guys that's going to be a star in the league.
Yeah, seems that way. I think he will be, as you said, I mean, just it looks like just domination from the start potentially and what he could do. And certainly if he winds up with the Texans, I mean, you know, got a new defensive-minded coach. You got a guy who could just completely change the game defensively, and, you know, that's not a bad starting point to perhaps turning things around for the Texans. So, I think that's a very interesting one to see kind of how that plays out there with Will Anderson. All right, let's move on to the offensive side of the ball for a second. As we said, we're looking at some non-quarterback type guys. Bijan Robinson from Texas, you know, someone that I think is expected to go, you know, top 10-ish for sure, it seems like. I think there will be quite a market there in terms of the skills that he'll bring. Again, somewhere in that range. We always say this, right? Like, it's maybe that's what it is. Maybe there are trades that push him a bit further down, you know, somewhere. I think it's just a matter of trying to figure that out. And that's why we say you could go with kind of a bit of a range on some of these guys, because you never know kind of what the trades are going to look like. But if we're dealing with comps and trying to figure out, you know, exactly what he could be, he's an interesting one, because I don't know that I've seen necessarily just a ton of ones that I look at and say, all right, that's the perfect one. Because I think running backs can be tough sometimes, you know, just I think a lot of it's probably dependent on, ultimately, we know it's important, like where they go and kind of how that could compare to who they could be. But I don't know, he's an interesting one, but clearly, you know, a guy who's pretty dynamic in terms of what he can do. And he's someone that I think will be a nice pick for someone, but I'm more curious probably I don't have a great comp for him at the moment, but like I'm more curious just to see where he goes, because I think a lot of that's going to depend on kind of how the board's falling early with the quarterbacks and the trades perhaps and those kind of things.
I think some teams will see what in terms of what Breece Hall was able to do last year and have an immediate impact for the Jets before his injury, and see that player in Bijan's case, who similar skill set, both guys super, like you mentioned, versatile, able to catch the ball, able to do anything out of the backfield, can make guys miss, have that elite home run speed as well. This is the guy I was mentioning in terms of, I think, as a surefire thing that we're going to have in this draft in terms of just knowing that you're going to have a star in your hands, health willing. Got better as a pass blocker this year at Texas, already basically was doing everything perfectly before that. I mean, yeah, his vision, every part of him, he's compared himself, or at least he tries to model his game after. This is from a Fantasy Pros bio. He's talking about, at least in his, how he tries to make guys miss, he compared himself to Barry Sanders. That's a pretty big... lofty for sure. I think one ESPN and one of their comparables have LaDainian Tomlinson. Maybe, you know, again, these are Hall of Fame, some of the best running backs in NFL history we're talking about here. LT is not a guy that's easy to live up to, but in terms of, you know, think about when LT played, just the vision that he had, the ability to hit those cuts, make the, you know, catch the ball to the backfield. You know, yes, they had Darren Sproles for a while there in San Diego. So he wasn't used as many passing situations as they probably could have. But when he did, maybe a little bit earlier in his career, he was as dynamic as it comes. So, I mean, between those two guys, I think one, in terms of just his explosiveness, that's a little more recent, and maybe also because of my some concerns, if anything, with Bijan is just injury history. But that's going to happen at this position regardless of who you are. Anyone's going to get hurt over time. But I think Saquon Barkley kind of had a similar just build up going into his draft of like surefire, explosive, does makes guys miss, does everything. Maybe more of a receiver to an extent, but that's not knock on Bijan. Saquon was just that ridiculous at Penn State. So I think those are some interesting comparisons potentially, but yeah, I mean, we're talking about two of the best running backs ever, and then Saquon, who, as we saw when healthy last year, was a huge reason the Giants are able to get to the playoffs, and some other comparisons that are out there. Josh Jacobs, I mean, yeah, we're talking about all like either all-time greats or stars in the league right now, right. And I think, yeah, like you said, it's gonna be really interesting to see where he goes, because man, that offense, whatever gets him, I hope he has a solid offense line. And even if he doesn't, he's the kind of guy that can make it work with a lot of different things. So really excited to see what Bijan can do in the NFL.
Yep. I mean, you know, certainly I think the thought on the running back and, again, the role and everything has certainly changed over the years in terms of what, you know. But like you said, you look at some recent haul specifically and just understand what you can get, and, you know, that could be something. So we'll see where he falls to, because – you just don't know, given what this board could look like. Yep. And I think that's the biggest mystery.
All over the place.
Yeah, it's all over the place right now. So, yeah, we'll see. Jalen Carter, obviously someone else who I think clearly, you know, expects to be a huge difference maker in the NFL, certainly coming from Georgia. And, you know, obviously, you know, all the stuff in the offseason and everything kind of leading up to it. But, I mean, you just look at where this guy's going to go, and you know, as a defensive lineman and what he can do. I mean, there's, like we said, I mean, you talk about a Georgia defense that is pretty dominant with him kind of as the focal point, and now, you know, no really many questions at all that's going to translate. And I mean, yeah, like I'm not saying he's going to necessarily be Will Anderson, but these feel like two guys that, you know, just in terms of their upside, hard to ignore it, just because of, I think, again, what they accomplished in college. You see kind of how that translates, and I mean, just all of, I mean, really, I mean, you said it earlier, like you could really look at Will Anderson and say maybe the top guy overall. I mean, if I'm looking 10 years down the road, like I'm probably not going out on a limb to say that I wouldn't be shocked if Will Anderson and Jalen Carter are like the top two guys that wind up being, you know. I mean, again, we assume one of these quarterbacks are, you know, or more perhaps wind up being, you know, a long-term guy. We just never know. But I think these two guys feel like much more of a just an absolute sure thing. And so for Carter, the comps, again, I mean, take your pick on a defensive tackle and try to figure out exactly, I guess, who he compares to. So.
Yeah, I've seen Fletcher Cox, as I mentioned, and Jeffrey Simmons, two guys that, yeah, make a lot of sense in terms of his impact. And, I mean, obviously, like you said, the off-field stuff has kind of clouded this whole draft process in terms of his stock and, even how much we've probably talked about it, and him as a prospect compared to at the end of the regular season. We're just starting to get into NFL draft talk, and yeah, he's still going to be drafted high, it seems like. Obviously, just a ridiculous, just a force inside. I mean, his body type is much bigger than, say, an Aaron Donald, and obviously, you know, that's the peak of what you can do at this position. But I think Fletcher Cox has been consistently one of the best defensive tackles in the league, and a guy that, you know, maybe a little underrated, just be in my mind, maybe not from a lot of fans that follow the NFL really closely know how great Fletcher Cox is. But in terms of, he doesn't have the same publicity maybe outside of big fans, because he's such a force, and it gets a little overshadowed because of what Aaron Donald just kind of broke the position with his ability to break through double teams and whatnot. But yeah, I think Carter, I like those two comparisons. Even if, like you said, I think he's going to be really good in the NFL. I think, yeah, in terms of a sure thing, we'll see in terms of the consistency. One of the comparisons PFF had was Kawan Short, and I think if that's like, I mean, the guy that made a couple of Pro Bowls, was really good during his time with Carolina, if that's like the lower end of what Jalen Carter can do, then I you know, you're going to be pretty happy still with that player. And if he can be anywhere above that, I know there's some of the knocks of him have been down consistency with his approach and staying fundamentally sound, and has been accused of on some snaps just, you know, dogging it a bit. It is really hard, you know, to play that position full speed every single snap. There's a reason that in the NFL and in college, obviously, to an extent, but in the NFL you have a lot of rotations with these guys that are even Aaron Donald's not on the field for every single snap. They're picking and choosing their spot. So I think if a team gets Jalen Carter and puts him in the right situation and has the right motivation, he has the right culture around him to help him, you know, through everything that has happened off the field, then yeah, this is a guy that can succeed at a really high level. I think where he ends up could be a really important part about that. But yeah, high end, trying to be a new Fletcher Cox, that would all 32 teams would take that player in a heartbeat.
Yes, I think absolutely. That's why I said I just don't have a lot of doubt about Anderson and Carter in terms of their ability defensively, what they're going to bring for whoever they're drafted by. Like I said, we have a pretty good idea, I think, of where Will Anderson's going to go. Not sure exactly on Carter because, as we said, that could depend on some trades and such. But, yeah, I mean, clearly two pretty remarkable talents just from a skills standpoint, for sure. Yeah, for sure. So, all right, let's talk about a wide receiver. Quentin Johnston from TCU, obviously, someone was a big part of TCU's success, getting to the national championship game, and now you kind of project ahead. Look, I mean, he's someone else, and I know we're kind of repeating ourselves here, but, like, I've seen a wide range of where he winds up. And, you know, obviously this is more of the comp stuff, but when you look at it, I mean, you got a guy here with size. What is he? I mean, I'm trying to find the exact measurement for him.
6'3",
I want to say, yeah. So I think around 6'3", so got quite a frame on him. You know, just kind of that long sort of athletic guy that, you know, the NFL, you love to have someone who can go up and catch the ball. Obviously, after the catch, I think that's something that's really stood out with him, and what he could do. And, I mean, there's a lot of different stuff I've seen. I've seen a lot of sort of interesting ones. I think I was looking up, you know, you're kind of searching for some of these just to see what people think. But, like, I saw Davante Adams is one that someone had kind of put as a possibility. Obviously, again, you're projecting very high on the most positive scale of what they could be. but, you know, still, I mean, you know, I think it's the size itself is something that really stands out. And I think just seeing the possibility of what he could do after the catch, I think he ran, I'm trying to pull up the numbers here. I want to say he ran a 4.5 something, maybe in the 40. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know if you've seen anything better, but I think that's one. I think when you just look at the size and the ability to maybe put up some yards after the catch, I think he's I would expect him to go maybe higher potentially than some people would think, because I think that just kind of watching it, there's a lot that really stands out with him. So.
Yeah, that's happened with receivers recently in the draft. Guys will be at first mocked in a certain spot, and then over time you're like, all right, this guy do you want to pass up on that ability? Do you want to be the team that passed on Justin Jefferson? Not that, you know, very different player, but nonetheless, yeah, with these receivers and their impact in the NFL, you're seeing guys go higher and higher. So, yeah, I would not be surprised if he went much higher than, you know, where he's being mocked in a lot of places. I think a lot of you look at big board kind of layouts of the draft, and he's a lot higher there than he might be in the mocks, which we'll see if that ends up playing out. If teams really follow their philosophy that almost all of them say that they're going to take the best player on the board, no matter what they're really targeting. I mean, Davante Adams, like you said, that would be fantastic. Not like Devontae coming out of Fresno State was regarded as going to be one of the best receivers in the league. Even when he got, you know, I think he went drafted in the second round eventually. And he's a guy that built on those things over time. And I think Quentin, it's pretty clear that this guy's work ethic is second to none. I think he, at the NFL level, when he's just focused on his craft, is only going to get better. His ability to make contested catches is the one thing, when you said Devontae, that I immediately thought about. Guy that fights through contact, throw the ball up, he's going to catch it against most DBs. I mean, there's some really talented guys that are going to be tough in the NFL, but nonetheless, I think this is, I like that comparison. It's size-wise, also able to, you know, maybe not the best route runner in this draft, but has enough quickness to kind of be able to, you know, create separation for his size and make that target a bit bigger. He's already a big guy and it's a big target, but nonetheless has enough there. You know, he's gotten, the only weakness kind of stuff I've seen on him is that, like, when he's gotten injured, he hasn't been as fast, which is like, yeah, you're hurt. So I don't really know. There's not a lot of downside to what this guy can do, but what that actually translates to. I mean, Devontae would be great. Some of the other ones that I've seen are Martavis Bryant, which at his peak was a really great NFL player, and honestly probably more breakaway speed than I would think with Quentin Johnston. But, you know, I think with the polish he's going to get at the next level, that's where I kind of think about how we could elevate to another level. Maybe a guy that's not on the level of Devontae, that's similar in what he's able to do, similar size, not the breakaway speed, but the contested catch. Alshon Jeffrey was one that I see as a comparable, that I kind of like that one as well, in terms of what he might be able to do. But I mean, all these translate to a player that you'd want on your team. It's the simple thing about it. And I think that, we'll see what he's able to do and where he ends up going. It's really hard to project with receivers. It always kind of fluctuates. There's just so many teams that want one and want some of these top guys. Where he ends up falling, I think they're going to be happy with what they get.
Speaking of receiver, I mean, here's another one. And I think these two guys are going to get compared a lot, because my guess is, like I said, if for some reason maybe Johnston goes a bit higher and maybe jumps someone like a Jaxon Smith-Njigba from Ohio State, I'm curious to see. I don't think that's going to happen, because you look at some of the, and like we said, these are, as we always know, right? Like, these are all over the place. You never know. But I think it's going to be an interesting comparison, because obviously, you know, not the same size, 6'1" versus what we talked about with Johnston, and it's kind of what the expectations could be for him. Pulling up some of the notes here, like NFL.com has the comp for him as Jarvis Landry. So someone, you know, certainly I think projected to go in the first round. It's just like we always say, it's just a matter of kind of where he's placed and kind of what that production could look like immediately versus what does that look like 5 years from now. I think he seems like more of a, I don't want to, well-rounded, like, and that's not a knock, because sometimes it's like, oh, he just, like, you know, there's nothing, just really just completely over the top, like, wild that stands out, maybe, and maybe some people disagree with that, but like, I think he's just like really good at a lot of different things. That's what I kind of have looked at him. It just seems like that's what's in. Look, there's nothing wrong with that, but we understand, like, in this era, it's like, oh, well, it's like we said, well, you point out something just specifically with the size, or just specifically here, there. He does a lot of good things. Like, he does a lot very well. It's just, I think, I don't know. I think this is one where I'm curious to see, you know, what the, how far these two go apart from each other, because, you know, I don't know. I mean, and look, and maybe wind up being wrong, but like, I tend to see some people get a lot more excited about the possibility of what Johnston can do. But then on the flip side, like I said, maybe that's more of just looking at some of those particular things that just kind of wow you. And there's a lot that can wow you about, you know, Smith-Njigba here. But I feel like maybe overall well-rounded, maybe this is the guy that winds up going a bit higher. And just, I don't know, again, if it's fair to compare the two, but I do think we're talking about two guys who could go in a somewhat similar range. So I think there's always going to be that comparison. So,
Yep. The next guy we're going to get to after, I think, at least in most lists of the top receivers in the draft, it's kind of these the three, and we'll get to Jordan Addison after this. But I think Njigba has the ability, like you're saying, to be a fantastic player. But in terms of that, I think it's partially the talk in terms of the excitement about Quinn. And I mean, TCU made the national title game, had some just big performances on a big stage, whereas Jackson was injured a lot of last year. If you really, a lot of teams are kind of going off of his tape from his 2021 sophomore season, where he put up almost
Basically
1,600
one season.
yards. Yeah, and he was the third guy with like Garrett Wilson, and I'm blanking on who the other receiver was still there at the time. I'd been Olave, but yeah, like I mean, this is a guy that put up huge numbers in a situation where he didn't have to always be the number one guy. And I know he's not the biggest dude, and he's also not like the absolute blazing speed. He's still obviously a really fast, a 4.48 is what he ran at the pro day for Ohio State. I think still obviously a really fast guy, but maybe not like that elite kind of speed for some of these smaller guys that we'll see get drafted. Not that Jackson's tiny; he's not like one of the really little receiver, but compared to Quentin and some of these other bigger dudes in this class. But yeah, I liked one of the comparisons I saw was slower CeeDee Lamb, which is funny because they ran basically the exact same 40 time, if I'm not mistaken. I think see. So I like that one though, in terms of just what he could be able to do. CD is not the biggest dude. He's a really tough guy and he plays bigger than his size. But when you actually look at his height and weight, and you're like, all right, this guy's not massive. And I think that's kind of how Jackson does play. I like the, was it Jarvis Landry you said was one of the comparisons? I think that one's an interesting one in terms of what he might be able to, Jarvis, when healthy, has been a really successful receiver, obviously, really versatile guy that plays in the slot, can play outside. And I think that's that versatility with Jackson does separate him. A lot of, I've seen a number of comparisons of Tyler Boyd, who I think we talk about a lot when we talk about the Bengals, pretty underrated just because he's playing with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. It's not your number one receiver if you're with Jackson Smith and Jigba, like compared to what teams might project they might be able to get with. Quinton maybe has just a different build, but I think as a weapon, if he's in the right offense with a more true X receiver number one, and what he might be able to do in the slot and other things, then yeah, I like the potential here, and I like I think maybe you're getting a little value because of the injury issues last year, and if he had been fully healthy this season for the entire time, I think maybe his draft stock, we're not talking about this quite the same way. I think maybe he's the clear top guy, but we'll see how it all plays out. Julian Edelman's another one that PFF had as a comparison for him. Interesting to see a lot. You could look at a number of different slot receivers, but guys that are technically sound. And I think, yeah, just as long as his hamstrings hold up, then hopefully we see a lot of good stuff from Jackson in his rookie season.
Yeah, Jordan Addison's the other one you talked about from USC. I think, well, I'm looking at NFL.com again. They have some of these, and Tyler Lockett is one they have as a comparison for him. So kind of that, guy that's, 5'11", smaller, like I say, not 6'3", but when you look at just the overall skill set, I think it ran a 4.49. I think that I looked at that one, and that's intriguing because I think that's, that's another one, like you said, it really where all three of these guys go is going to be kind of fascinating to see what order and kind of where, again, the actual location is. But just sort of the speed and the athleticism is really, I think, what stands out with him. And that's kind of Tyler Lockett, right? I mean, that's someone who can kind of have that separation and be able to do those kind of things. So I think that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I like the Lockett comparison. I think speed wise and his ability to get open downfield, in terms of his route running too. Tyler Lockett's so technically sound. It's going to be Jordan Addison isn't going to be on that level, but he's, I think, at the college level, obviously fantastic. He only just, I know this shouldn't necessarily always factor in. Cooper Kupp was drafted when he was like 24, but Jordan Addison also only 21 years old. That's going to help his stock to an extent in my mind with some of these teams project how much football and mileage is on these guys' legs. So Lockett for sure is a good one. I'm trying to think of some other comparisons here. a couple that I PFF has Emmanuel Sanders. I could see that a bit. You see kind of the similar things of what Tyler Lockett could do, depending on how healthy Emmanuel was at certain points of his career. But the one that is spicy, and it's I don't know if I mean, this is a lot of, again, these are all high end ones, but one that I saw here was Devontae Smith. I mean, that. He's on a different kind of plane. I think Jordan Addison was in college, maybe we heard a few more of those comparisons. That maybe had been a second since I'd heard that one. In terms of his frame, though, I mean, just the way he looks at and kind of glides on the field, that part I understand the comparison for sure. The speed and explosion that both those guys have, obviously great hands as well. So interesting one for sure. It's a lot of pressure Devontae Smith, especially last year, kind of took his game to another level. Was great as a rookie as well. But I think with these three, we've had so many just really high end receiver classes of late. It's a lot of pressure to keep kind of keep building and expect. It's almost not fair to these guys. We're expecting them all to kind of just come right into the NFL and immediately produce. It's not usually how it goes, but it's kind of been the new normal. And I think these three all have that ability. But yeah, if you're going to be compared to Tyler Lockett and Devontae Smith, I think you're going to be pretty good with Jordan Addison and what he can do, as long as, again, he also stays on the field. Another, and all these players, the physicality of the NFL is just another level. So it's not really a knock on any individual. It's just the nature of what the NFL and, I think, but Addison too, a guy that obviously before he went to USC with Kenny Pickett had some just ridiculous numbers. And I think what you saw, what they're able to produce against maybe teams that at the time that Pitt wasn't like thought of to be the ACC champion like they ended up becoming. His ability, man, like I've watched him at USC a lot, but I think back now more so as we're talking right now to thinking about that Devontae Smith comparison, thinking about what he was doing at Pittsburgh, and I'm like, okay, maybe there is something to this. Maybe I should put all the pressure on Jordan to live up to those really lofty expectations.
We'll see. I mean, like I said, I think this is an interesting trio right here of wide receivers, and I think it's just going to be kind of fascinating to see where all these guys wind up. And as we said, looking at some of the defensive guys as well. All right, Dylan, anybody else we want to throw into the mix here before we wrap up? I mean, as we talked about, we could...
There's so many good players.
There's so many guys we could do this for, but just kind of looking at some of the top names. We did the quarterbacks in the previous episodes, but now we're getting ready for the draft. So, we'll see where all these guys wind up.
Yeah, thinking of other ones, like quick hitters, Devin Witherspoon, the corner from Illinois. Darius Slay, I see that one from PFF. I like that comparison a lot. We'll see where he ends up going. But I think if you get that kind of high-end play from what Darius has done at certain points in his career, that could be pretty successful. Other one, Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech. His stock obviously keeps ballooning, it feels like. Every time I see anything, he's just going up and up. Carlos Dunlap was one comparison for him that seems to kind of make sense. Jason Pierre-Paul. I mean, this, if you take these players together and you have a guy that is just on the outside, just taking over against, maybe got a little less, traction just because he's playing at Texas Tech and they weren't exactly on the premier games at all times. But this dude was just dominating some tackles in the Big 12. So I like that kind of comparison. But I don't know if there's any others that you thought about. There's also the Peter Skoronski, the tackle from Northwestern. That one, I mean, his floor is really high. I think that in terms of what he can do as a guard, potentially that's PFF thinks that, and that kind of makes sense where that he could end up sliding in there more so than tackle. So I'm trying to think of, maybe this is just too simple because it's Northwestern, but Rashawn Slater, what he's able to do. And maybe that's the quick one that came to mind with him, but I don't know if there's any other comparisons. But yeah, all these guys are, there's just so many players that are great in the NFL too. And it's hard to also, there's just so many guys in the history of the game. If we really want to go back, and it's like, I'm sure I could, or a lot of these comparisons we're talking about are more recent or players in the NFL now. But there were a few, obviously with the references of Barry and LT, a little strong there for Bijan, but for the most part, I mean, there's probably some more guys. It's hard to think of them off the top of your head. Trying to think of a couple more though.
I mean, like I said, there are so many you could go with in some of these instances. I mean, it's just a matter of, I think ultimately I'm to the point now where it's like, all right, where are these guys going to go? Because I feel like this is just one of the more interesting kind of because we talk about with the quarterback specifically, like you just, you know, we're kind of set here with all the quarterbacks and trying to figure out exactly where these guys are going to go. And then ultimately, you know, finding those comparisons, I think it's much easier to do once you know what team they're going to be on. It's like, all right, well, yeah, this guy's going to be this or that. And
this role,
just, it's hard to do, but we'll see where all these guys wind up. As we said, if you want to listen to our thoughts on the quarterback comps, you can do that in the previous episode to this one. And of course we'll have a lot more on the way, but of course, Dylan, it's all covered over Clutch Points, a lot of stuff to get you ready for the NFL draft. So let everybody know where they can find all that.
You can go to clutchpoints.com to the NFL or NFL draft sections are right on the top of the homepage. Tons of draft stuff looking over. I mean, we've already gone through so many breakdowns of the where the best fits for different players, the best players the team should take with every pick, going through some guys that might fall in the draft that would be good options in the early second round. I mean, we've kind of gone crazy with the coverage as we usually do, but this year to a different level. We got our mock draft. If you look that up on clutchpoints.com, we'll have during the draft a live kind of running article breaking down all the picks, having our writers do their live grades. We'll kind of throw those in over the course of the draft and through the weekend. But yeah, lots of good stuff. And also in the Clutch Points app, we'll have our NFL draft event kind of thing thrown in there along with the normal game streams that you might usually see. So it'll kind of tie in some of the stuff we're doing in real time and kind of keeping up with the social side of things. It should be a lot of fun. NFL draft is always a wild few days. It's always kind of exhausting, but hopefully when we come back early next week to record, we'll have some interesting thoughts for where these players end up and start looking ahead to what they're going to be in their rookie seasons with their new teams.
Yep, be sure to check it all out at Clutch Points. Like I said, everything you need to get ready for the NFL draft, a lot of reaction as well, of course, and we will have the same here on the podcast, so be sure to subscribe. Any podcast app you use, search for Establish a Pass, and thanks as always for listening to the podcast, and we'll talk to you again here next time on the Establish the Pass podcast.